you could only be tuned to WRUV FM Burlington 90.1 on your radio dial.
WRUV FM Burlington.
The radio voice of the University of Vermont, your better alternative.
You are listening to 90.1 WRUV FM Burlington. Thanks, as always, for listening.
Here at the University of Vermont, we value students' education first and foremost. However, the well-being of our students is just as important to succeed both in and outside of the classroom. One of the best ways to give your body some extra TLC to ensure better well-being includes partaking in some form of exercise. Whether that be going on a walk or run outside as the weather gets warmer, going to the Patrick Gym to play a pickup game of basketball, or trying out a fitness class that UVM's Recreational Center has to offer, your body will thank you for giving it some extra attention. So, the next time you have some free time, check the fitness class schedule for the day, call up a friend to go on a bike ride, or even walk downtown. Your body will appreciate it, and so will you. This is a message from your exercise-happy DJs here at 90.1 WRUV FM.
It's nice to meet you guys, too.
How you doing today?
All right. I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Not too bad. We played our first show of the tour last night.
How was that?
It was good. Really good crowd.
That's good.
Good energy. I think we sounded pretty good. So
I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did. You guys have shows like today, tonight, what, tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. So four in a row to start.
That's
and then
a
I think
lot.
We have 2 days off, which is nice. But
that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those we always look forward to the days off. But
right. At least they're, I guess, the states that you're playing in are kind of close together. You're not like traveling back and forth.
Yeah, this first leg is the pretty close, but once we get into like New York, then it's the 12-hour
long nights.
Yeah.
How do you guys drive? How are those drives from show to show?
Bad. We're pretty accustomed to it now.
That's good.
We were on tour in the fall with Axe and the Hatchetmen, and that was like super far. Like we, from San Francisco to Denver was
something.
So
that is crazy.
Cool. Yeah.
Do you guys usually drive like straight through, like the 12-hour, like straight?
It depends. Sometimes if we're super tired and the show goes late, we'll sleep in the city that night and then wake up super early and do a 12-hour drive. But most of the times we'll split it. We'll do a couple hours after the show, sleep in a random town or city, and then just carry on after that.
That makes sense. That's a lot of driving for sure. And then you obviously have to play the show, so that's kind of a lot.
Need to sleep.
But yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, I hope you're getting your rest.
Thanks. Yeah, so far. We slept at Blake's house last night, so we got some good last home-style sleeping meals before we leave.
How is it playing in Connecticut? Because I'm also from Connecticut. So how is it playing there in the home state?
It's nice. I mean, we started at UConn, and so it's such a cool progression to see some people we knew from UConn. And then they come to the smaller shows and then eventually work their way up to like what we did last night at Space Ballroom. So it's really,
That's cool.
Nice playing here. It's always a good crowd that we get. Always got to shout out UConn.
Of course.
We're in Connecticut. Of course.
I'm from Colchester.
Okay, nice.
So cool. I saw you guys play in Norwich at like the Rose Garden Arts Festival thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that was really cool. You guys did great. So.
Yeah, that was the little side stage bar.
Yeah, it was so crowded and a crazy setup, but it worked.
Yeah.
That was
it's all that matters. And I saw you guys open for Dog Park here in Burlington.
Oh, you did? Nice. Okay.
Yeah, so that was also amazing, per usual. But so you guys started at UConn. So how was that? How did you guys all like meet? Was it like classes together? Were you guys friends before?
Blake and I met, we're music majors. So what did we meet, like the first week of school?
Yeah, we probably met like the first like day or two, but didn't like get to know each other until a little later on.
Right.
Yeah, we're jazz guys. I was a trumpet player, Blake guitar, and so we met in the music program there. And then Nick, he'll come on soon. He's a year younger than Blake and I, and so met him through just some clubs and stuff, and we were all in a mutual club, and Nick had some original songs, and he was in a band in high school, and he wanted to form a band and needed a band to perform these songs. And so through just by proxy, knew Blake, knew me, and then we were actually all in different bands at one point with each other. I was with Nick was with Blake at one point separate, and then we eventually formed this band. And then Adam, we met two years ago.
Yeah.
And he was our touring drummer for the longest time, and he just officially became our fourth member drummer. And so now we're rocking with the four-man group again. So
there you go. Did you guys always want to be in a band, or is this more of like a it just happened?
Yeah, for me, I mean, I grew up watching Victorious and growing up around like the whole summer. Seeing all those like bands and stuff like that growing up, small festivals, and being like, I want to be in a band.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for all of us, mostly. I mean, similar to Adam, I mean, my mom would take me to concerts since I was two. She managed a record store, so I would
Cool.
The music there. And then I think here comes Nick now. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, we all kind of did want to be in bands, I think. And we pushed it through. We graduated, Blake and I, 2020, Nick 2021. So it was during COVID. And so we, even through COVID, you know, we did Zoom calls and we released a couple music during then. So we stuck with being in a band and pushed through it. So,
yeah, that's so cool. And then how did you guys come up with the name Kids That Fly? I have to ask.
That was Nick and Blake and our old drummer in a dining hall. Nick's first band was called Flight Crew in high school.
Oh, okay.
And so they wanted to stick with like the flight theme. And after that, I remember the three of them were at the dining hall and showed up, and that was, they're like, hey, we picked the band name. And it was Kids That Fly, and then it just stuck. And because we
there you go
for show that weekend. And
yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know?
Right, right. And did you guys know you wanted to do, like, the flight suit thing? Like, was that part of it?
That was kind of an off-the-cuff decision there. We were opening for a band at Gramercy Theater called Brass Against, and they're kind of known for their showmanship and crazy on-stage behavior. So we were like, we got to kind of match them in some way.
Right.
I'd watched Top Gun recently, and I was thinking about the
suit. There you go.
It was,
and it works.
It works nice. So I bought a bunch of like $10, you know, Top Gun iron-on patches, and we slapped them on the suits. You can get the suit online. All they're standard, you know, Air Force regulation. It's what the actual pilots wear. So
there you go. Hey, it works perfectly. Jumpsuits.
Just Google it. Copper.com.
They can send discount
codes now. Yeah, they do keep discount codes. Yeah.
So we've got the green ones, then we got some black ones too that we used for a little bit too, but we've retired them for the moment. We're saving them for special occasions.
Of course, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know your guys' vibe is so like cohesive between like your music and even like the covers for your singles and stuff like that. How did you guys figure out you wanted to do that like 80s and then almost like early 2000s pop kind of thing?
You know, I mean 80s is the best decade.
Yes.
Everybody knows that. There's a lot of this 80s revival going on. I think the dude who started it was The Weeknd back in 18 when he dropped that album. It was all so 80s themed. And I do think that kind of tipped the culture a little bit too. But it's such a fun generation of, you know, all vibrant colors and neon signs and like red leather and stuff. It's crazy that people did all that. So it's always great to grab that sort of stuff. But in terms of the 2000s pop stuff, we've always kind of played that sort of music. Our first couple covers back in college were, we did like a Bowling for Soup song, and I'm trying to think what else. We did My Own Worst Enemy by Lit, you know, all that kind of like house party, up-tempo, pop rock stuff. You know, anything kind of in the Blink-182 album. I always mentioned Blink-182. We never actually played any Blink-182. But that was always the vibe.
No, it works really well. And then how do you incorporate that? I think you guys have some of the coolest music videos. How do you choose the direction for the music videos based on the songs?
Ooh, yeah. That's a good question.
Vibe.
It's all vibe. The last one for the Boxer, we had a creative director on, and that was a cool process of different treatments and picking out, and we're pretty hands-on on like what we like in it and all that. But they did a lot of like the color scheme. The production did a lot of like the color scheme and the motifs there. But even Girl Like Her, the one before that, there was a production team and they wrote the storyline, which was really cool. And like Deadbeat City, though, that was a buddy of mine from high school shot that. But I think it was just we booked a rented classroom.
Yeah, there's some Brooklyn in Bushwick. That's some I don't know what kind of church. It's like a Presbyterian church, but underneath there's a this basement of classroom. There's an old gymnasium and stuff in there. So it's a Peer Space rental. A lot of the first couple of music videos we did, we just went on Peer Space and found a venue and shot it. You know, we had, there's one that we did in our old college house too. So some of the shoots have been pretty, pretty sort of taped and glued together. You know, yeah, we've always been lucky to have some friends with the, I was thinking of Trouble. I forgot we did that. We're doing in the same house, actually. Yeah, fun fact. Yeah. SU Fool music video and Trouble music video are shot in the same house.
Upstairs, downstairs.
There you go.
Yeah. But yeah, the Debbie City one was fun. That was a really cool space. Old classroom. And we've always been very lucky to have good friends with really nice cameras.
Yeah, so,
That probably helps. Yeah.
Sorry I'm late, by the way, guys.
You had bigger fish to fry.
I know. I just got my health insurance reinstated. Cameron
yeah,
was,
that's more important
the
than
disclaimer
this.
In the end, it was so long. It was the longest paragraph I've ever heard in my life. But I'm all hooked up. I'm going to submit my payment next week. And
there you go. Perfect. Yeah. But you guys did just release a single, The Boxer. So I wanted to ask how you wrote the song. What was the inspiration? How did that process go for you?
Yeah, we that was the first song we did with our new very good friend and producer, Tommy English, out in Los Angeles. The label's been flying us back and forth from New York to L.A., which has been super fun. And we've been doing a lot of recording out west. So that was this Boxer we wrote the first day we walked in with him. We had a so Blake and I were living together back in about a year ago now. And Blake was in the living room playing this phenomenal guitar riff, and I was like, dude, you better record that. So I started picking up a bass and laying down a, you know, snazzy bass line to it, and then that was really the only idea we had before walking into the studio with him. So the rest kind of came out of thin air. Tommy has a couple melodies that we slapped on top, and he's got a really talented friend, Ulf Wahlgren.
Yeah,
his last name. Oh, he's like the, wait, sorry Adam, he's such a good drummer. He's a phenomenal. You guys are both good though. But yeah, we all put the song together, and really it all came that first day. We were trying to figure out a kind of theme, and we were talking about the idea of a boxer. And so Tommy started spitting out all these ideas about Muhammad Ali. You know, his famous quote is, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. So he put that into the chorus.
There you go.
The rest of the verses are just kind of a story of this this boxer really getting the works in the corner. And we've kind of put it in the realm of a story of a relationship between a guy and a girl. So it was fun. It's always fun to do a kind of thematic story. It is technically a ballad. I wouldn't call it a ballad, but any sort of story song is a ballad. But it came really quick. I was really surprised. But Tommy's a wizard, so he helped us put it together really nicely and make it sound really professional. So it's kind of the new sound is going. We're going to try and keep picking off that tree.
There you go. Do all your songs come so quickly, or have there been some that like take a lot of time to perfect?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Some people say that the good ones come really quick. And I know Kiss You Fool came out like in 30 seconds. I remember I was sitting in my parents' basement back in when it was 2018 or whatever. And the whole song just kind of, you know, the verses came quick, the melody, the chord progression. Deadbeat City, on the other hand, took forever. I started that song back in, I think, around the same time as Kiss You Fool, actually. And it sort of sat there with nothing. We never really had a hook for it. I had a lot of the verse lyrics I had just been sort of working over and over for years. And then finally, when the whole hook of If We Make It Out of Deadbeat City came along, that's when the rest of the song kind of clicked. So then we brought it into the studio and really worked it with our producer, Greg, who's in Granite. Shout out 9 Point Studio and Greg Giorgio and Rob Van, all those dudes. So, and that we spent a lot of time in the studio on that one. So, I mean, Deadbeat City was a long road for sure, but it really depends, you know? I'd like to say there's no real formula for it, you know?
Right. It has to come naturally. You can't force it.
Oh, yeah.
And so you guys are obviously performing here in Burlington at Higher Ground this Sunday. What is your favorite part of performing live?
Ooh. When people are singing the lyrics. That was awesome last night in the... at the Space Ballroom, and it was just great. People were, the front row was electric.
Yeah.
Singing back Deadbeat City, and even something like Sunday in London, people were digging.
Yeah, like to the next point, just seeing the crowd reaction is always
it's such a good, it keeps the energy going for us. And that's, I think that's my favorite
part. I think walking on like the first song, because every room is just so unique and so different, and every crowd, every venue is a different vibe. It's always a great
vibe. Yeah. That's why we wait to write the set list until we actually get there.
I know.
You gotta catch the vibe.
Yeah, we usually write the set list 10 minutes before we go.
Yeah, it's a little straight. Last night it was stressful. We were setting up merch and stuff. We just got a big merch shipment in, so.
There you go.
It all got done.
There you go. Have there ever been like arguments about which songs to make the set list and which ones get cut, or is it always kind of just whatever?
Yeah, I like to think it kind of appears. There's a clear line, but
yeah.
We've had some little toss ups.
Strategic conversations.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just a set list at the end of the day.
Right. It's no big deal.
Air over it.
But we do, I mean, we try to do our best. You know, people request a song if they're standing out on, or just even if they DM us, can you play this? And we'll make sure to fit that on there.
The only time we haven't really performed a request given was people keep asking us to play Field Love. And we haven't put that on the set list in a while. We got to practice it. You know, I pitched it in rehearsal, but it just never made it off the drawing board.
It's okay. It'll get there one day.
Yeah, it's gonna work itself. I'm not worried.
But I'm sure you guys have played your fair share of like basement shows, backyard shows. But what is like the dream concert venue to perform at? Like, what is on the vision board?
MSG.
Big at him. Look at that. He's got, I don't know.
MSG for me.
I think Red Rocks would be pretty sweet. I don't know if
Red Rocks is cool.
Yeah. I've never been there. I've heard it's awesome.
There's a really cool venue. I forgot where it is. Maybe near Red Rocks. That's in a cave.
Ooh. I got to look it up.
But
that's Pompeii. Cool. I want to play at Pompeii.
That's
Pompeii.
That would be sick.
No, actually, though, my dream venue. So in my hometown, Stamford, Connecticut, does a... I think they actually are not doing it this year, but every year in past, they put together this festival called Alive at Five, and they get pretty big names to come through. So we've opened there before. We played with Third Eye Blind, which is pretty cool. But to headline there would be a real victory lap for me. So
that would be cool.
Yeah. Or come back as a headliner to UConic or the...
Oh, yeah.
The music band at UConn. That could be pretty cool.
Here it is. It's the Caverns in Tennessee.
There you go. Add that to the list.
You're only 1,000 miles from Red Rocks or so.
Yeah.
Smoky Mountains? No, it's not Tennessee either, is it?
I don't know.
You know, for all the traveling we do, I really should have some more geographical knowledge.
Hey, it's okay. It's okay. So we're kind of coming to the end here, but you guys did just release your new single, The Boxer. Is there anything else you want to promote? Anything you want to talk about? Obviously, you're on tour right now. So if you want to talk about that, where people can find your music.
We're on tour for a month straight now, coming out to a show. Love to meet fans. Love to see you guys. We will be releasing music while we're on tour, so be on the lookout for that. And a couple more throughout the summer and all that.
So April 17th, I think. New single coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Follow us on socials. We're on every single one of them. And stay engaged. Keep listening.
Come out, buy some t-shirts.
Of course.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
T-shirts, posters, but follow.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
There you go.
Always make the money nowadays.
Yeah.
Or make the impressions, and the impressions.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know. I don't really know how this business works yet, but.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. This has been so amazing to talk to you guys. Good luck at your show tonight, and then tomorrow, and the day after. Get some good rest, because that's going to be a lot.
Yeah. Well, are you coming to a Higher Ground?
Yeah, I probably will. So
okay, let us know.
Perfect.
Cool.
All right. Perfect. Well, awesome. I'll see you guys then. Get some good rest.
Thank you.
And good luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Yeah, of course.
Take it easy.
A place in the city, a chair in the bed. I cover up all the mirrors, I can't see myself yet. I wear smoke like a wedding veil, make a meal I won't eat. Step out into the street, alone in a sea. It comes over me, or oh, I'm missing you. Yeah, I'm missing you, and all the things we used to do. MDMA in the back garden, blow our pupils up. We kissed for hours straight, but baby, what was that? I remember saying then, this is the best cigarette of my life. Well, I want you just like that. Into your hands, we're in a sandstorm and it knocks me out. I didn't know then that you'd never be enough. Oh, since I was 17, I gave you everything. Now we wake from a dream. Well, baby, what was that? With me when I'm out with my friends, I stare at their painted faces. They talk current affairs. You had to know this was happening. You weren't feeling my heat. When in the light down, baby, so bright, I face reality. I try to let whatever has to pass through me, pass through. But this is staying a while. I know it might not let me go. MDMA in the back garden, blow pupils up. We kiss for hours straight. Well, baby, what was that? This is the best cigarette of my life. Well, I want you just like that. Into your hands, we're in a sandstorm and it knocks me out. I didn't know then that you'd never be enough. Oh, since I was 17, I gave you everything. Now we wake from a dream. Well, baby, what was that?
And reality is when we are in the beauty stage of a friendship and it feels good, we never feel that that friendship is going to end. With some relationships, you start to feel the disconnect. It's about putting in a boundary and being clear but respectful to an individual to explain to them, this is how I feel, rather than to start off with an accusatory tone. If, you know, the energy still seems to be tainted and it's not flowing in the right direction, it's just to respectfully have the conversation to say, you know, it's not working for me, I wish you all the best.
Things coming to a natural end because people drift apart is totally fine, and it doesn't have to be dramatic. It might be, and there might have been like a bad event that occurs, and that's sad. But if you feel like you're just different from somebody now, maybe have a conversation with them about it, just like you would in a romantic relationship.
Friendships run its course. It's a big loss, and it's a huge dilemma. Someone decided that they don't want to be your friend anymore. So now you have to not be their friend, but that was their choice.
Katzen. I am a singer-songwriter from North Carolina and New York City.
Awesome. I'm Sophia, otherwise known as DJ Osprey, and I'm super excited to interview you today. So I guess just starting out, what's your inspiration been for the new record?
That's a challenging question because it's so open-ended.
I know, I could, sorry.
I like it though. I think because it's my first album, I honestly think the inspiration for it was like trying to make an album and trying to make a good album. And as I like thought it,